Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Monday morning, everyone. Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo on this October 18th. I hope everyone is enjoying this fall day. It is actually really beautiful in Michigan where I am at, about 70 degrees today, and it's going to be mostly sunny skies around here. So that is always a good day. I just want to make a, if you were listening to the last hour, which is local hour here in Michigan, we had Father Alex Kratz on from the St. Joseph Chapel in Marian Shrine in Pontiac, Michigan, and his website he gave out wrong. It was terrasanctaministries.net, terrasanctaministries.net. So he has a wonderful Marian Shrine in the state of Michigan in Pontiac. It's really beautiful, this lovely St. Joseph Chapel. So he wanted me to make that correction in the last hour that we have, which is the local hour here in Michigan. But heading into the national hour here on EWTN, Catholic Connection, Meg Meeker is going to be joining us. Dr. Meg Meeker, you all know her. She's a regular on with Teresa Tomeo. She's a pediatrician, a mother, and best-selling author. We'll be talking with her about a story that Teresa and I have talked about before, and it's this report, research study from Facebook, their own internal report about the negative effects Instagram has on teens, especially girls and body image. This is so important. So many reports were coming out last year, especially during the pandemic, where we saw a rise in anxiety, depression, even suicide among young people because of the lockdowns. And social media attributes a lot of this depression, anxiety among teenagers. I actually have a neighbor in my neighborhood who's a psychologist, and we were talking about this. I was walking my dog around the neighborhood the other day, and I stopped to talk to her, and she actually was saying how she has so many teenage patients today who are just have high anxiety. She's like, I just can't tell you how many. I keep having more and more teenagers, and they're all coming to me for anxiety. And a lot of this is attributed to social media. And so we as parents have to really be cognizant of this and have these conversations with our kids and monitor really what they're on social media. We know that often people put their best face forward on these platforms. And as it comes to body image, you know, when we were growing up, when I was growing up, and Teresa was growing up, and you know, we had magazines, you know, we would have, you know, fashion magazines, and we'd be like, oh, I can never look like that model. That's why I never looked at fashion magazines. I like clothes, but the pressure was just too much. Now it's everywhere among with teenagers. They can't escape it, especially when they're glued to their phone, because every social media platform you go to is, you know, girls trying to look sexy and pretty, and, you know, they feel like they have to live up to the standard, and they're not being, of course, society in the secular world is not talking about in the image and likeness of God, right? And it's not talking about how they are daughters of the King and how, you know, we're supposed to value our bodies and have modesty. And these are not what the social media platforms are talking to our kids about. No, it's about how to look sexy and pretty and how to look 10 years older than you really are, and all this pressure to look a certain way. So we'll be talking with Dr. Meg Meeker here this morning on Catholic Connection on this internal report from Facebook. And, of course, they're trying to deny it and trying to justify and trying to kind of twist what the report is really saying. But it really is saying that there's a negative impact that Instagram specifically, because it's very picture driven. You know, each platform kind of has their own, the way it's designed. Facebook is very kind of storytelling. Twitter is very newsy. You know, you only have 140 characters. Instagram is very picture driven and video driven. TikTok is very video driven, right? Snapchat is very quick and it disappears after a while. So we have to understand how these platforms work. And because Instagram is very image driven, you know, it's this imagery that it's affecting our teenage, especially our teenage girls. So Dr. Meg Meeker will be joining us for a couple segments here on Catholic Connection. I'll be having a little commentary today before the end of the show, and I'll be talking about today's the feast day of St. Luke the Evangelist. And so what does it mean to us? You know, we're all called to evangelize the faith using the charisms that we're blessed upon our baptism by the Holy Spirit. And what does that look like? I'm a big proponent in taking the Called and Gifted course, or, you know, I administer the Gallup's talents assessment when I work with my clients one-on-one on coaching, or when I do team building coaching. I do a lot of Christian component in my coaching if clients ask for that. Sometimes they don't. They're in the secular world, or they're not Catholic or Christian. And we do more of a standard coaching approach. I always pray before I coach. I always ask the Holy Spirit to guide me, even if I don't pray with my clients. But we do these assessments on the talents to see, you know, how can we reach our goals? Are we living up to our potential? Are we, you know, living, you know, working in the vocations that we're called to work in? You know, we're all given these God-given talents, these charisms, and how are we using them in our everyday life? And St. Luke the Evangelist is a wonderful saint to ask for intercessory prayer on. How can we use our talents and our charisms to bring others to Christ? Because we're all called to do that. Maybe you're a person of hospitality. Maybe you're a person who is an iconographer, and he is a patron saint of iconography as well. You know, maybe you are another type of artist. Maybe you are have a beautiful musical talent. Maybe you are a speaker. Maybe you are a writer. There's all kinds of charisms and talents out there. Maybe you're a strategist. You know, maybe you are great with numbers. You know, you can use your talents and your charisms in ministry and in your vocations. I mean, some of us are blessed to use our charisms in our, and not just in ministry and bringing others to Christ, but it becomes our vocation, becomes our everyday job. I mean, that's what Teresa and I do. That's what Al Creston does. Al and I have talked about that before. We're blessed to use our charisms and our God-given talent in our everyday lives, and the work that we're doing in our ministry is very much part of our vocation. So we're talk show hosts, and we're speakers, and we're writers, and I do Christian coaching and leadership coaching and management coaching, and I'm able to use my charisms, which communication is on the top of my list of my talents, no surprise. So is being a learned person, an input person, people like who likes to do research and understand. I'm a person who likes to read. I do research. I like to take in information and data, and then I like to give it out to other people. That's how I evangelize the faith. That's how I work with my clients. You know, I like to understand information, dissect it, put it into layman terms, and share it with other people so it could help them in their lives and in the work that they're doing. So how is God calling you to evangelize the faith? What charisms do you have? What talents do you have, your God-given talents, and how are you using them in your everyday life? So today, the feast day of St. Luke the Evangelist, is a great way to ask for intercessory prayer and ask him to pray with you so God can show you how you're supposed to use your charisms to bring others to Christ. And finally, as always, it is Monday, so Gail Buckley will be joining us, as she always does with Teresa, on the Catholic Scripture Study International on this scripture verse of the week. So she'll be rounding out the show this morning here on Catholic Connection. It is 8 minutes past the hour, and now it's time for the news. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell has died from complications of COVID-19 at the age of 84. His family says he passed away this morning and that he was fully vaccinated against the coronavirus. They thanked the medical staff at Walter Reed and said, "We have lost a remarkable and loving husband, father, grandfather, and great American." Powell was a four-star general in the U.S. Army and the first African-American U.S. Secretary of State. He served under President George W. Bush from 2001 to 2005. Christian Aid Ministries is asking for prayers after 17 of its missionaries and their family members were abducted in Haiti. The Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministries posted on its website yesterday saying it's praying for a resolution. The post said the organization is committing the situation to God and trust Him to see it through. The group was taken by gang members on Saturday after visiting an orphanage. The Catholic Church is planning to mark the 5th annual World Day of the Poor. The Vatican announced last week Pope Francis will visit Assisi, Italy on November 12th, where he will spend time with a group of 500 poor people from across Europe. The Pope will pray with the poor and listen to their experiences after visiting the birthplace of St. Francis of Assisi. World Day of the Poor falls on Sunday, November 14th this year. There's a concern about a worker shortage at airports with Transportation Security Administration coronavirus vaccine deadline right before the holiday season. Scott Pringle reports.
All TSA workers are mandated to get fully vaccinated by November 22nd, right before the busy Thanksgiving travel time, but about 40% remain unvaccinated. New York Senator Chuck Schumer, he is advising the TSA to bring in more canine units to help with what could be a potential worker shortage.
The canine teams are really effective. They can help secure national security and allow TSA agents to more effectively and efficiently screen individuals.
All new New Jersey state workers, including educators, must be fully vaccinated against coronavirus or submit to frequent testing starting today. This resident is on board with the order.
I personally just want to get back to normal, whatever it takes to get back to how it was 2 years ago.
Governor Murphy includes teachers, contract workers, and subs for pre-K through high school. The order also applies to private and parochial schools. The state's largest teachers union is supportive of the order. The state is offering to pay for testing for school districts. President Biden says he's hoping for the best with the health of former President Bill Clinton. Mike Bauer has more.
He seems to be, God willing, doing well.
Sepsis is most commonly seen in elderly patients, but can indeed be fatal. It is a common cause of death in hospitals, with about 270,000 Americans dying as a result of sepsis each year. The infection spreads through the bloodstream, causing symptoms such as fever, chills, low blood pressure, rapid breathing, elevated heart rate, along with confusion and disorientation, and requires continuous monitoring of their vital signs to maintain normal levels of oxygen in their bloodstream to reduce the risk of septic shock and the possibility of organ failure.
Senators reportedly making demands for expanding the child tax credit. According to the new website Axios, Joe Manchin wants a work requirement and a family income limit in the $60,000 range. This would bring down the cost of the Democrats' $3.5 trillion reconciliation, which Manchin said is too high. But Axios says progressive Democrats are unlikely to agree. A vote is expected today on whether to remove a statue of Thomas Jefferson from inside New York City's City Hall. Republican Councilman Joan Borelli is against removing it.
They should take a hard look at some of the freedoms and liberties provided for by Jefferson's work before they cast aspersions on someone who is admittedly flawed.
Some want the statue removed because Jefferson, the nation's third president, was a slave owner. The city's Black, Latino, and Asian caucus says it's not reflective of the city's diversity and character. The Public Design Commission is expected to review public comments and then take a vote. District police are looking for the person who shot a U.S. Postal Letter Service carrier earlier this month. Michael Martell with the U.S. Postal Inspection Service says the motive is unknown at the time.
Motive, as of right now, is still under investigation, as it is, you know, an active and ongoing investigation, so I don't want to speculate as to motive right now.
According to reports, a letter carrier was delivering mail the night of October 7th in the North Michigan Park neighborhood when he was shot. The victim was able to take himself to the hospital, receive treatment. Authorities are offering $50,000 for information that leads to the arrest of the person who shot the letter carrier. State officials are stressing the importance of getting a breast cancer screening. Susanna Mendoza urges women not to avoid taking their annual mammogram.
Especially if you are a woman of color. Your life and your health are too important to delay this important screening.
Illinois health officials say more than 1,800 women statewide will die from breast cancer this year. Gas prices are up for the 20th day in a row. AAA reports the national average price for a regular is up to $3.325 a gallon, 0.6 cents higher than on Sunday. The national average has shot up more than 13 cents a gallon in the past month. It's been 7 years, October 2014, since gas price was last this expensive. It's 14 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo here this morning on Catholic Connection. We got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Meg Meeker. Stay with us, everyone.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Okay, I've been a Catholic for 5 years, but I suffered under a lot of things due to my Protestantism as a Pentecostal, and I just want to personally ask God to bless you for your ministry, for everything you do, and the help that you give people.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
Denha-Garmo filling in for my dear sister in Christ, Teresa Tomeo. I'll be here today and tomorrow. She'll be back the rest of the week in her host chair. Joining us now is a regular here on Catholic Connection, Dr. Meg Meeker, pediatrician, mother, and best-selling author. And we're talking about this recent story that Facebook revealed their own research on Instagram and how it has a negative effect on teenagers. Dr. Meeker, how are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
So Teresa and I talked about this a couple weeks ago when this report came out, and this is really no surprise. What was surprising is that this was a study that Facebook did to themselves, and they tried to hide it because they didn't want it come out publicly about what negative effects Instagram had on young people, especially teenage girls, when it came to body image. So that was no surprise. So what is your reaction to this story?
Well, I think it's worse than they present. You know, I've been researching the effects of on girls of Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and so forth, because the girls I talk to are pretty much on Instagram, but there's a direct research that I've seen over the past years. There is a direct linear correlation between depression and the amount of time girls spend on Instagram. So in other words, you know, it just goes straight up. Amount of time you spend on Instagram going straight up, and the level of depression, the incidence of depression follows that curve exactly. And it's very, very frustrating for me because I will tell you, I talk to girls, teenage girls, young girls, 10, 9 years old, and I always ask them about social media and Instagram. Most of them are on it, some very little and some quite a lot. And, you know, I always ask them, well, how do you feel after you get off of Instagram? And I will say most of them look at me and either say, well, okay, or not very good about myself. And I'll say, well, why do you keep going back? Because everybody else is there. And so there's this pack mentality that girls have that is pulling them down, sort of sucking them to the bottom of this dark vortex. but none of them can seem to stop going there.
Yeah. It's like almost like a fear of missing out. And we saw this increase during the pandemic, Dr. Meeker, when kids were on lockdown. They weren't in school. They weren't with their peers. And they're forced to, online, virtual online. And so their social media use increased. And then we saw an increase of anxiety, depression, and even suicide.
You know, I really think it's epidemic levels. I thought it was before COVID. But now what I see kids coming in with anxiety at 6 and 7 years old. I never saw that 20, 30 years ago, ever, ever, ever. And it's very disturbing because once someone in the family is anxious, then everybody else in the family is anxious. So say a seven-year-old is anxious. Mom's anxious about his anxiety. Dad's anxious about, what's going on with mom and the child. And so the entire household becomes very, very tense. And I understand that. I would be the same way if my seven-year-old were anxious. And I think, honestly, we are hitting our kids with so much audio and visual stimulation 24/7. Their brains can't handle that. They just can't handle it. And also, as far as social media and girls, these girls are not mature enough to be able to handle the fact that what other girls post on Instagram isn't necessarily real, and that the reason these girls are posting it on Instagram is to show off and make themselves look better than everybody else. Young girls on Instagram, even if they're 15, 18, they can't work that through.
Yeah. Well, the brain is not fully developed till you're in your 20s anyway. And then everybody's putting their best face forward on social media, right? They're putting out this image that their life is perfect. And I've seen it over and over again with people that I know personally about their lives, their personal lives, and I know their personal lives are not that great, but they put these best face forward to put out this image that, look at me, look at how great my life is. And it's quite sad. Adults are doing this.
Adults are doing it, and as a matter of fact, I'm off my personal Facebook page because it makes me feel, I'm not retired. I don't travel a lot. I work a lot because that's what I love to do. But a lot of my friends travel and they tell these stories and they have these photos. And I think, oh my, I should probably be doing that. You're such a dweeb. Why do you sit home at work all the time? So even mature women who study it and get it still feel bad. I just really think it's a very, very unhealthy dynamic. And a lot of parents know this and they're worried, but they feel there's nothing they can do about it, and there is.
So what do we do, Dr. Meeker?
I thought, next, tomorrow's show.
Next question.
Well, here are a couple of things. First of all, mothers need to come together. Say you have with maybe four other mothers in the class, okay? Say you've got, fifth graders. You go together with some other mothers and say, we're going to be the worst mothers in the class group. And we are going to wean our girls from social media. And here's how we're going to do it. And we're going to do it all the same. So that if our daughter says, and this is their line, you're so mean, everybody else has Instagram.
Yeah.
We can say, that's not really true. Because Alicia's mom's doing it. And so much of some friends and I did this way back with our kids regarding drinking and sex activity. And we decided we were going to teach our kids these virtues and these things. And I can't tell you how much strength it gave the girls. And they really wore it as a badge of honor because they felt, you know what? My mom's watching out for me. I mean, they complained. And so this band of mothers begin to wean your girls from social media. And then finally, you can challenge your girls to stay off of social media for 2 days. And then you extend that. And then, you know, you go on and on. And then begin to replace that social media time with something else that's enjoyable. And I, you know, here's another interesting thing that studies show. Kids don't like being on screen as much as their parents think they do. Isn't that interesting? Kids actually are a little more willing to wean off than their parents think, because a lot of parents want to be on their screen, their phone, checking their email, yeah, whatever. The other thing that parents can do, and I think I've mentioned this to Teresa before, but there's a brilliant device out there called the Gab phone, G-A-B-B. I talk about it so often, people must think I created or own it. I don't. Or it works with them. I don't. And this is why it's so brilliant. They have a watch. It's an iPhone that doesn't connect to the internet. So a girl can't get on social media. She can text, take photos, do everything else, but can't get on social media.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Meg Meeker about social media and our young teenagers, especially our girls, and what we can do about it. Stay with us, everyone. We got to take a break and be right back here on Catholic Connection.
"60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa."
The state has responsibility to orient things, but they can't take over the rights of the family, like in China, to have one child and that's it. It's a disaster over there. How many tens of millions of abortions have gone on? And one of the things that, as a result of that, is because of the preference to have boy children rather than girls, you have, for every 1,000 boys, there are 850 girls. This is a great imbalance. Same thing is going on in northern India. So this is where the government cannot take away the primary and inalienable responsibility of married couples and families. And they cannot employ methods which fail to respect the person and fundamental human rights. Beginning with the right to life, the government cannot force you to kill innocent human beings and still be a humanistic government. It's an evil government.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
The Holy Eucharist is fulfillment for the present day and a taste of heavenly glory. The Catholic Catechism quotes an ancient prayer of the Church, which says in part, "O sacred banquet, in which Christ is received as food, the memory of the Passion is renewed, the soul is filled with grace, and a pledge of the life to come is given to us." Jesus pointed this fact out to his apostles at the Last Supper, indicating the fulfillment of his passion, death, and resurrection in the kingdom of God. "I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Though we know Christ's real presence is in our midst now, that presence is veiled. So we wait and pray for the day when our Savior comes again and we will see our God as He is. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
We're talking with Dr. Meg Meeker here, pediatrician, mother, and best-selling author, about the effect social media has on our teenagers, especially our young girls. And I was telling Dr. Meeker on the break, last year when my daughter was in lockdown and virtual, you know, we made her get off of TikTok because we noticed it was having a negative effect on her. And it was already bad enough she wasn't around her peers and her friends and she was virtual, which I thought was a horrible experience. But that was what the pandemic forced us to do. And we took her off, Dr. Meg Meeker, off of TikTok. We made her delete the app from her phone for the whole year. And she actually told, we said she can have it back now that she was back in school face to face and when she was with her friends, and her whole demeanor changed. I'll tell you, she's such a happier person. But she said to us, "You know, I was really upset that you made me delete that app, but after a while I felt peace."
Because social media does a couple of things. It not only makes girls feel badly about themselves, but it's stimulation. And girls have this sense that you know, I have to see this. I have to see this. I have to. And then those things come into their mind and they come into their heart, if you will, and they stimulate that constantly, constantly. And that causes a lot of anxiety in kids. You know, it's kind of like if you sat down for 4 hours every day and watched movies that about people who had these incredible, wonderful marriages, and then you got off, you think, oh, gosh, what's wrong with me? But the, and then also the constant stimulation, so forth. And I think we underestimate that because whether they're reading or they're hearing or they're watching, kids can't be quiet. They can't be calm. And their brains are constantly, you know, being hit with noise and, you know, visual stuff. And a child's brain can't handle that. So when you take, and ours too, you know, mm-hmm. when you take that away, even for a little bit, the whole child calms down and it feels so good. We did the same with our son with video games in high school. And we just said, sorry, no video games. And all of his friends had him this kind of thing. And we were horrible parents, knock down, drag out. When he went off to college his freshman year, he said, I'm going to take my, I'm going to go buy an Xbox, whatever it was. He called it make it anymore. And I said, okay, but if your grades go down, you know, you're going to, you're not, you're pulling you out of college. He came back in the spring. He said, Mom, I just made $200. And I said, how? He said, I sold my Xbox and here's why. When I went off to college and I saw all these guys sitting in their dark rooms for hours at a time playing video games, it sickened me. He said, thank you so much for not allowing me to play. Now, he would go and play at friends' houses. Okay.
Yeah.
But he knew that on our watch, we knew it was bad for him, and so we weren't going to allow him to do it. So it doesn't take long at all, like with your daughter. When you put him on a diet of no media in certain areas, they feel so much better. And it's the longer you keep them away, the longer they feel better. Even I would even say this, rather than be on Instagram and see what your friends are posting, if you really want to do something, why don't you FaceTime somebody? You know, get on your phone and just FaceTime it, because you're going to speak differently, receive the information differently if you can see the person's face.
Yeah, and so have a connection. Yeah.
The connection, even yeah. begin to replace it with that. But you can wean your kids, and girls do feel better, but you've got to have a support system, and so do they.
Yeah.
They need that other nerdy group of kids in their class who aren't allowed to be on Instagram because their moms are so mean.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's so good. And then also that Gab phone, it's phenomenal. And I even asked the company said, Give your audience 10% off just if they put your name in there. But it really, really does help and work because, you know, there's a watch and you can feel safe about it. And they feel kind of cool because they still have the phone and everything, but they can't get on social media.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. And particularly if you have a 9 or 10 or, you know, a 13-year-old that you're not ready to have hooked to the internet 24/7. Fabulous answer to that.
That's a great idea, the Gab phone. I didn't know that existed when Elena was younger. You know, one of the reasons we got her the phone, too, is because she was involved in so many sports and plays, and we'd drop her off places, and we didn't want her, like, without a connection to us for hours at a time.
Yeah.
One of the things I've learned, Dr. McMeeker, just from my own personal experience, is sports, okay? So Elena did golf in the fall. She's getting ready to either do – she hasn't decided what she's going to try out for, either hockey or basketball. And then she's going to do rowing, crew in the spring. The sports is the best thing we ever did because she can't have her phone. She can't – she's so busy with her friends on the sports, and she's so – you know, she's all about getting better as a golfer and getting better as a basketball player. That's her focus. So now she's outside playing basketball and she's outside shooting, you know, hitting balls in the front lawn. You know what I mean? Like she's so focused on the sport. And I think we have to get our kids back into these activities, these after school activities, and get them off these phones.
Yes. Give them some other outlet, you know, because kids want an outlet. They want to focus on something else. They want to be with other kids. And so that is a very healthy replacement for going on social media and having false relationships and false outreach, but to be on a field and play, and even just playing, you know, yeah. even young kids just playing. And it is so good for kids. So here's the thing, and I really want to encourage parents here. You know, many of the listeners are saying, I get it, but there's nothing I can do. You know, there is a lot you can do, and you and I have just talked about three things. Get your kids involved in sports, piano, that could be, I mean, not five a day, but, you know.
Something.
Something. And then there's that gap. But then there's also, you know, coming together with your peers who have kids your daughter's age, and it's best if they know those girls, and say, you know what, don't say, oh, you know, social media is horrible, it's just going to rot your brain. You know, kids will go, yeah. But say, you know what, we know that you're going to be happier once you begin to wean from this. It's going to be hard, but we're going to support you. And this is the kicker. I, as your mother, am going to wean myself from being on my phone, not on Instagram, but, you know, just checking my emails and texting people, because we can be as addicted to our phones as our kids.
So I will attest to that. I'm just as bad. I am.
Oh, I am too.
Yeah.
I am too. And I will tell you, I've got grandkids, and I will watch their parents texting or looking something on the phone, and these little kids are running around, you know, craving attention, but the parents aren't really there with them. And I will say, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And because we thought it's our default.
Yeah.
You know, we default without even thinking. And this is what our kids do with Instagram, so we can train ourselves away and we can train them away. And even if you train, even if you can cut their social media use in half, that's a huge victory.
Dr. Meg Meeker, always a pleasure talking with you here on Catholic Connection. MeekerParenting.com is a website, best-selling author, pediatrician, and mother. Dr. Meeker, so much.
Thank you.
God bless you and all the work that you're doing. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us, everyone.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The Archbishop of Detroit, Alan Vigneron, published a little booklet called The Beauty of Truth, and it deals with this very question of words and the use of words. And it's a great sorrow, the Archbishop points out, when the quantity of words being expressed is at an all-time high, and the consequences of ill-used words are causing more harm to the cause of truth and the good of the human soul than maybe ever before. Are we part, as I say, are we part of the problem or are we part of the solution? Are we constantly carping about society, church, media, police? Because if so, we're gonna have to go out of our way to demonstrate this kind of patience with one another, to let people think through things rather than, you know, immediately slam them with, I've got the answer for you, buddy. Words matter.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I am sitting in the host chair today here on Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for my dear sister in Christ, Teresa Tamio. I'll be back, God willing, tomorrow, and then Teresa will be back in her host chair the rest of the week. It's always a pleasure filling in for her. It is the feast day of St. Luke the Evangelist here on October 18th, and Teresa talks about the saints. I love the saints. I love learning about the saints more so as I get older and having specific devotions to certain saints. And I feel like certain saints have called on me. Blessed Solanus Casey is one of them who I feel like has really called on me. And so I've read and learned about him and asked for intercessory prayer from him. But St. Luke the Evangelist, and I must say a self-proclaimed communications evangelist, was what I've called myself for years as I started creating these Christ-centered communication messages that are heard on Catholic radio and television around the globe. They're produced by ECRC, too, on television, and they're on their YouTube channel. And many years ago, I started to ask myself, in certain situations, what would Jesus say right now? When I was dealing with difficult people or difficult situations in board meetings and conference calls, and I felt like people were kind of being deceptive or lying or this was not moving in a really healthy direction. And I kept thinking, well, what would Jesus say right now? How would he handle this situation? What would he say to this person? So I started doing research and reading scripture and just started thinking about, okay, how can we be Christ-centered in our communication? And I thought, I'm going to become a communications evangelist. I'm going to really preach about positive communication, productive, fruitful communication. How can we communicate in a Christ-like way that the communication is fruitful? And there's so many breakdowns in the world in families and corporate world, and that's how I ended up going into coaching, is because I saw this breakdown in communication in the corporate level in businesses and organizations and academics. And so I do communication strategy work and coaching because of that. And so, St. Luke the Evangelist is a great saint for me to really meditate on and learn more about and pray and ask for intercessory prayer as I try to evangelize the faith in my ministry here on radio and the work that I do, but along in my work, my company, my Epiphany Communications and Coaching Company, where I'm doing strategy work and where I am coaching people on management, careers, leadership, and on how they communicate in the workplace. I do a lot of team building. A lot of team building is around communication. And so October 18th, Catholics and other Christians around the world are celebrating the feast day of St. Luke, the physician and companion of St. Paul, whose gospel preserved the most extensive biography of Jesus Christ. So what can we learn from St. Luke, the evangelist? And that's what we're talking about here on Catholic Connection. St. Luke wrote a greater volume of the New Testament than any other single author, including the earliest history of the church. Ancient traditions also acknowledge Luke as the founder of Christian iconography, making him a patron of artists as well as doctors and other medical caregivers. So you think about how you evangelize the faith. What gifts have you been given upon baptism by the Holy Spirit to bring others to Christ? Are you an artist? Are you a musician? Are you a writer? Are you a speaker? Are you a caregiver? Are you somebody who has hospitality in their charisms? What is really God calling you to do? And that's why I really encourage people to do the Called and Gifted program. I facilitate the Gallup talents assessment. It's the strength assessment with my clients. So they get their top, their 34 talents, and their top 10 is what we focus on. What are your top 10 talents? How are you using those in your careers, in your everyday life, in your vocations, in your ministry, and in evangelizing the faith? We're all given talents and gifts by God, by the Holy Spirit. How are you using yours? And so St. Luke came from the large metropolitan city of Antioch, a part of the modern-day Turkey. In his lifetime, his native city emerged as an important center of early Christianity. During the future saints' early years, the city's port had already become a culture center renowned for arts and sciences. Historians do not know whether Luke came to Christianity from Judaism or paganism, although there are strong suggestions that Luke was a Gentile convert. Educated as a physician in the Greek-speaking city, Luke was among the most cultured and cosmopolitan members of the early church. Scholars of archaeology and ancient literature have ranked him among the top historians of his time period, besides noting the outstanding Greek prose style and technical accuracy of his accounts of Christ's life and apostles' missionary journeys. Other students of biblical history adduce from Luke's writings that he was the only evangelist to incorporate the personal testimony of the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose role in Christ's life emerges most clearly in his gospel. Tradition credits him with painting several icons of Christ's mother and one of the sacred portraits ascribed to him, known by the title Salvation of the Roman People, survives to this day in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. Some traditions hold that Luke became a direct disciple of Jesus before his ascension, while others hold that he became a believer only afterward. After St. Paul's conversion, Luke accompanied him as his personal physician, and in fact is a kind of biographer, since the journeys of Paul on which Luke accompanied him occupy a large portion of the Acts of the Apostles. Luke probably wrote this text, the final narrative portion of the New Testament, in the city of Rome, where the account ends. Luke was also among the only companions of Paul who did not abandon him during his final imprisonment and death in Rome. After the martyrdom of St. Paul in the year of 67, St. Luke is said to have preached elsewhere throughout the Mediterranean and possibly died as a martyr. However, even tradition is unclear on this point. Fittingly, the evangelist who travels and could have filled volumes, wrote just enough to proclaim the gospel and apostolic preachings to the world. He is the patron saint for artists, bachelors, bookbinders, brewers, butchers, doctors, glassmakers, glassworkers, gold workers, goldsmiths, lace makers, lace workers, notaries, painters, physicians, sculptors, stained glass workers, and surgeons. So let's think about how we can ask St. Luke the evangelist for intercessory prayer, as we're all called to evangelize the faith and bring others to Christ. Maybe take this to adoration, learn more about St. Luke the evangelist, and ask him to pray with you so God reveals to you how you are called to bring others to Christ. What gifts, what talents are you using today to evangelize the faith? Because we're living in an upside down world. You know, we have taken God out of everything, and we need to bring others to Christ. We need to wake up the world to see truth. Every day a prayer I have, I say, dear Lord, you know, I seek truth. This is what I do. I hope we all seek truth. But dear Lord, let me see truth. Let me hear truth. Let me know truth. Let me believe truth so I may share truth. And when I speak of truth, I mean truth with a capital T. That's in Scripture. So how many of you are reading Scripture today? Maybe go read the Gospel of Luke today. How many of you are reading Scripture on a daily basis? Because in order to really see truth in the world today, we have to know the truth in God first. And that's why the world is upside down, because we have removed God from the equation. Catholics, non-Catholics, Christians, how are you evangelizing the faith? You know, I feel really called to just evangelize to Catholics alone. We have so many lukewarm Catholics, Catholics who don't go to church, Catholics who don't believe in the real presence of Christ. So what are you doing to help people see truth? How are you using your God-given talents, your charisms, to bring others to Christ? So maybe read the Gospel of Luke today, ask him for intercessory prayer, so God can reveal to you how you can use your talents and your gifts to bring others to him. It is 48 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo this morning. Stay with us, everyone, when we continue after the break. Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study International will be joining us.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels.
More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's the definition of frustration? Frustration is the difference between the way it is and the way you want it to be. It's hard to change the way it is. The way it is sometimes is other people, life, circumstances. The way you want it to be is in your power to change. You can close the gap between reality and what you want. The smaller that gap, the less your frustration. It is always easier to change oneself than to change reality. Frustration isn't always what happens out there. It is how we look at what happens out there.
Vanessa Danhagarmo here, filling in for Teresa Tamayo. It's always a pleasure to sit in her chair for Catholic Connection and fill in for her. I'll be in back tomorrow. And then Teresa will be in for the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, back in her regular host chair here on Catholic Connection. Today is the feast day of St. Luke the Evangelist, and that was what I was talking about before the break. We couldn't connect with Gail. I'm not sure what happened with that, but technical things happen in radio, and you just kind of go with the flow. It's live radio, so we'll just continue. And I really wanted to continue this conversation because, you know, I didn't even know about charisms till I got older, till I was in my, you know, late 20s or early 30s, not even understanding that we're blessed with charisms upon our baptism to evangelize the faith. That was not something I was familiar with. And I really was thinking, wow, how wonderful this would be if young people understood and took the Called and Gifted program and did this assessment. And that was one of the reasons that led me into coaching too, because I saw a disconnect when it came to communications and families and in organizations and companies and corporate America and education. And there's such a breakdown in communications that because of my background in communications that I thought I can use this to guide people, to coach people in management and leadership and team building and how we communicate with each other to reach goals and to fill gaps. And, you know, I was blessed with the charism of communications. It's one of my top 10 talents in my Gallup assessment. And that's a tool that I use with my clients in coaching, is that I give them the Gallup strengths assessment. We look at their top 10 talents, which in as a Christian coach too, is God-given talents. That's what we're born with, these charisms and these talents, not only to live our lives and use them for our vocations and our professions, but to evangelize the faith. And these talents can be used in our everyday life, how we, you know, deal with our families. If you're a father, a mother, a sibling, if you're a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever you're doing in your professional life, if you're a manager, if you run a business, we all should be focused on our talents. You know, we don't, people generally try to fix what they're not good at, and that's not really the way to go. We manage our weaknesses, and there's various ways to manage our weaknesses, but we take our talents and we make them strengths. That's how we succeed in life. You know, as Christians, in our professional life, in our personal life. And some of us are, you know, gifted to use our talents in our ministry, and not only in ministry, but work in ministry. And, you know, I'm blessed to do that for a big part of what I do, because I'm on radio on a regular basis. And Al Cresta does that, and Teresa Tomeo does that. But I also have a communications company, Epiphany Communications and Coaching, so I can use my talents in my professional work with my clients. But I beg you, go ask God, what are you calling me to do? How am I to evangelize the faith? It is a pleasure being with you here, sitting in Teresa's host chair. I'll be back tomorrow here on Catholic Connection.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.